Honorable Trump and Honorable
Chair, I'd like to be excused now. My phone has packed up and I need to urgently try and fix it. And I've discussed the whole, I've read through the report and all the deliberations and recommendations. I've discussed it with my colleague, Honorable Kruger, and he will be able to represent us as appropriate.
Will you be available if we needed you for the quorum? Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, greetings to colleagues. I'm also debating this afternoon. I would like to be excused around 12, at least. 12, yeah.
Honorable Lawutse, followed by Honorable Mabasa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be in the same situation like Honorable Mungame. We're debating on the Portfolio Committee of Justice and Constitutional Development. So I will prefer to leave 12 past 12.
Correct, Chairperson. I also have a predicament of another meeting which starts at 12. So I will ask to leave at 5 to 12. But we'll come back if the meeting is still on here.
Thank you. Now I have a suggestion for those who will be debating that they can just send their speeches. They will be put on the Hansard and the world will know what you were going to say. Okay, we'll try and be fast since this is the second consideration. What will you really do when we are doing this? This is the first draft. We then go back to our political parties and also discuss in our study groups, those who have study groups, and then come back with amendments and further inputs if we feel that there is an observation that was left out or there is an amendment that has to be made. That is how we usually approach the report. So today we are giving that opportunity for members to make contributions and amendments to the report based on what they have discussed in their study groups. I open that up, Honorable Mabasa.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson. I also suggest, Comrade Chairperson, that we work backward from when the report must be submitted, so that we note that last day, although in principle we should aim for a bit earlier than the last day, but if we could consciously be made aware of that so that we gallop towards it.
Thank you, Chair. Because the debate of the portfolio code of the department, it's on the 17th, which is next week Thursday. So now at least we must have at more about 5 days prior the debate, so which then the report needs to be adopted and 80 seat before the debate takes place. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in the previous meeting, I think we actually went through the document very comprehensively and there was a lot of discussions. So my proposal is that we start with the recommendations, because that is the important part of this whole document. And as I say, we went through the document very comprehensively and there was a lot of inputs, and I trust the content advisor that he actually added the inputs where it's supposed to be. And my proposal is then let's go start with the recommendations and go through the recommendations, and if there's a problem then we can address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to raise the same point the Honourable Kroger is raising. I will therefore support what he's saying, because indeed last time we interrogated almost page by page in the report and corrections were noted, and I've just gone through and realized that Conde Advisor has captured those as well. So my support for the view is that we look at recommendations, whether we still find we agree, but just for formality, because last time we do a lot. Thanks, Chair.
Narab Mabas.
Correct, Chair. I'm covered by the two colleagues, except that should a need arise as we go on, we should still not close the door for going back to rectify something or to insert something. But this it's well motivated that we start with the recommendations. Thanks.
Madam Chair, just before we start with the report, I just want to say something about the program. The program, future program of this. The president yesterday invited the opposition on a small business tour. So we must somewhere fit it in, please. It's just on a lighter note.
Okay. Can we then start with our discussions? Although I would also want to make my own observation, I wasn't here when the first draft was debated. But what I have observed is that almost all the observations are more to do with what has not been achieved or what needs to be corrected. In other words, the observations are on the weaknesses. There are no observations that are on the positive. And I don't believe that that would be a true reflection of a department or anything. If people look at me, I may have many weaknesses, but it doesn't mean that I don't have even a single strength as a person. The same would apply to this department. For me, it would not be a true reflection of the department if all the observations that we are making are negative observations. I do have positive observations that I would want to add on this. But let us start with the recommendations, and after that, allow those people that are making positive observations to make those positive observations. That doesn't mean that they disagree with the negative observations that have been made here. Can we take start? Who would want to start? Are there any other recommendations that you would want to make? Or are we happy with the recommendations as they are? Yes, content advisor.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps a contribution from my side, Chair. With regards to recommendation 18.1 would be, I think we're going to have to not change it, but rephrase it a bit. Because now it says the strat plan presentation should preferably be done before the conclusion of the 2018-19 budget vote process we are adopting today. Perhaps we need to change that slightly. Maybe give a new timeline, say maybe 31 May 2018, just to give each department a, I don't know, that's just my opinion, Chairperson.
What are the views of the members on that?
I must apologize to you. I missed the central message. If we could ask the content advisor to repeat.
What the content advisor is advising us on is that on recommendation 18.1, the portfolio committee said that the presentation of the strategic plan of the department should preferably be done before the conclusion of the 2018-2019 budget vote process, meaning that should have been done before today, and that has not happened, and it's not possible that it will happen. It will also not happen before our debate. What he is then suggesting is that we amend that recommendation and put a correct timeline as to when that strategic plan should be presented to the portfolio committee, the strategic plan of the department. Honorable Kruger.
Ma'am, can we then put the date there, say the end of December 2018?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think the what Mr. Gumede is raising is very important. It was really this impracticality that such a plan can be presented between now and this day. Therefore, we have to really come up with a new timeline, which, in my view, I think end of June will be fine. I think we look at December is too far, because this thing already is late. It should have been done, as the chair is saying already. If it is communicated to the department as early as now that by the end of June they must present, at least we might be able to be in a safe position. Thank you.
Firstly, we must reflect as to what happened. Why was the strategic plan not presented to the portfolio committee? when we engaged with the Department of Public Service and Administration, in the presence of the department, what was said was that although they were engaging with us on the budget vote, the strategic plan process had not been concluded, and there was still consultation that had to take place between the Department of Small Business and the Department of Public Service Administration. That is what was said, which made us to ask a question. What made you not to conclude that process, knowing very well that we were going to embark on the budget vote process, which requires you to present a strategic plan that you have all agreed on? And then the DG said to us that consultation was going to take place on the following Monday. We were having a meeting on the 18th of April with them, and they said that consultation was going to take place on the following Monday. But then in terms of our program, we were far ahead, which is why the first recommendation was saying they must come back to us. And they have not come back to us with a concluded strategic plan. But we can't prolong that process until December, taking two things into consideration. When this budget kicks in, the implementation of it and the APPs, it should be based on a strike plan that this portfolio committee would have approved. That is the first consideration. The second consideration, the term of office of the DG ends in September 2018. If we prolong this to, say, December, we are likely to have nothing concluded because the DG will be gone by that time, and we will have no one. We don't know when the process of getting a new DG will start. So whatever date we agree on should be informed by those things in mind, that this is what is going to be happening.
Chair, just a clarity on what you are saying then. Also wasn't aware of the term of office of the DG. From what you have said then, how does it put my proposal of the end of June?
Reverend Mesh.
Chairperson, I believe June is fair and reasonable because they are not starting from scratch, something that they are not aware of. They just have to polish and conclude what should have been concluded before. So I think end of June would be fair and reasonable.
Honorable Chapo.
Thank you, Chair. I suggest that we take the proposal by the content advisor as I did. Were you not saying May?
I was.
Yes.
Because the strike plan is there. It's been done already. The only thing we need to find in our program of the portfolio committee is the date.
Chair, I think it will help us if we get ourselves out of the predicament by taking a date which is not giving us a problem when the DG has to go, that it must be done. That is why I was thinking that the proposed date in May, during May, we should take that one, that it must be done. So while we, even if we adopt the report, at the same time we have this understanding, and while also we don't want to behave as if we are not concerned about this thing of not having this report, because I think it surfaces somewhere. It's enough that we know that it's always that we ought to have had this, and therefore this has got implications on the DG and her performance. But now what we want to do then is that we must have that date, that is order, in order to comply with the requirements of a report. Thank you, Chair.
I second what Comrade Gapasa suggests, because we must note the urgency and note that we are running behind time already, so we must do everything to have it done earlier. So I second the proposal from Comrade Gap on the time frame.
Then I would want a clarity and a guidance from the content advisor and the committee secretary. Will the committee not be in violation of any parliamentary process if we debate the budget in the House for adoption before the strike plan is presented to us? Does that not put the committee, are we not in violation of the parliamentary process? And if we are not, I would go with any date. But if we would be in violation of the parliamentary process, of what the committee is supposed to do before it presents a budget vote in parliament, it's supposed to have, if it is a requirement, a prescript, that a portfolio committee cannot debate and present a report of the portfolio committee on the budget, which has got the annual performance plans that are not based on an approved strategic plan by the portfolio committee. If we are not in violation of anything, I would take any date. But if we would be, as a portfolio committee, be in violation of parliamentary processes, I would then say, the department should present the strike plan before we debate, so that the department doesn't make us to violate parliamentary processes. Because if the strike plan is there and the department came to us together with the Department of Public Service and Administration and said, we have not concluded, we still have to consult. All that we need to do is to say to them, you said you were going to consult on a Monday that has gone past. Come back to us and present. So that we are not seen to be in violation of the parliamentary processes as a portfolio committee, but I need to be guided by the content advisor and the committee secretary. Honorable Kruger.
Madam Chair, if the members that was there last week remember correctly, it was my concern as well last week. And everybody was sort of saying that it won't be a problem. But I asked that question because we're going to approve a budget on even a structure that's not approved yet. Thank you.
Honorable Mulaudi.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I think the normal practice when we are requesting the Parliament to approve the budget of the department, we must have a strict plan. Because if we ask the money to be approved without any strict plan, it's going to hit back in terms of the audit regulations, that when they are going to audit their books, they will find out, they will pick it up. And we as the members of parliament will be found offside. So we can't try and protect the lazy department by jumping the normal way of doing things in parliament. I will go your own suggestion number two, that they be called to come as early as next Wednesday in our normal sitting to come and present whatever they have, so that we must go with the discussed, distressed plan approved and adopted by the committee. Because we mustn't send the secretary and the contract advisor to dig up whether it's illegal or legal. Let's do a normal practice which is known by Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, on this particular matter, Chairperson, what I did last week was with the help of my counterpart from the Standing Committee on Appropriations, you know, just to read through money bills which regulates this particular process in as far as the portfolio committee is concerned. My counterpart said the portfolio committee can go ahead and adopt. In fact, we've got two options. One option would be you do not approve the budget of the department on the basis that the APP informing the budget for the 2018-19 financial year is premised on the strat plan that has not been approved by the portfolio committee. In terms of the Money Bills Act, the strat plan, it's a prescribed process. The portfolio committee must consider and adopt the strat plan of the department. However, the portfolio committee can approve the budget in anticipation that whatever inputs that you may have in as far as the strat plan is concerned will be taken on board by the department. So it's there. That was my understanding, that perhaps the portfolio committee will go ahead and adopt in anticipation that when the strat plan is presented to the portfolio committee, whatever reservations you have will be taken on board. For instance, there are some of the things on the strat plan that the portfolio committee has recommended to the department. Those things have been taken on board. For instance, the separation of program 3 into program 4, into program 3 and 4, where you have a separate DDG for cooperatives, you have a separate DDG for SMMEs. That one is actually on the revised strategic plan, so that's a progress. However, as you will see when we go down on the recommendations, there are other issues that the portfolio committee may not necessarily agree with. So when I say in anticipation, those issues will have perhaps to be removed from the revised strat plan because of their conscientious nature. Let me end there, Chairperson.
Honorable Tim.
Thank you, Chair. I think the content advisor has said the strat plan is already there. And if it's already there, I think I will support the move by Honorable Mlawood that if possible, because if we will adopt in anticipation, we've got a history whereby we were promised dates, deadlines, and those deadlines sometimes will not be met by the DG. So we cannot do something that will also put us as members of parliament, you know, in contempt of parliamentary processes and procedures. So I think that we must adopt before we go for the budget. Because, I mean, where we would be saying we are basing this budget, because strike plan is a base of everything. So let us not have anticipations. I think I will move in support of the move by Honorable Mlawood, I think.
Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first confirm what Honorable Kuruka was saying, that last week the matter came up sharply and it was discussed, but from what is coming out today on the same matter, it changes the entire picture that one have in the last occasion, especially with the explanation that Code Advisor has given to us regarding the money bills, appropriations, what, all those things. And I think Chairperson is proper to support Honorable Mlawood and the Honorable team that we prioritize this matter before we start debating next Thursday. I'm worried as well to say we'll approve the use of taxpayers' money in anticipation that things will be. That is very, very negligent to do, Chairperson. I supported the view that we called them, but as well I was going to amend Honorable Mlawood's proposal of Wednesday, because still the report must be 80s and all those things will be debating the following day. If it's cool with members, because it's an urgent matter and we are debating Thursday, I'll propose Monday. I know it's a constituent day, but we've got a boiling issue to attend, so that we also have as part of time to go through that department strategic report and match it with what we have recommended on our debates. Thanks, Chair.
The one question that arises to me as we discuss, Comrade Chair, is whether when the strategic plan is submitted and adopted, whether we can still be able to amend it, or whether when, once it's submitted, it's you know, it's something that cannot be amended easily. I'm saying this because it means the strategic plan must carry the department to the long term, so that we should also be conscious of is it possible that it's not adequately thought through by the department? Is it possible that it has weaknesses that we cannot live with? I know I'm only throwing in another spanner. If so that if it was possible that even if the strategic plan has errors, when I say errors, it would mean not grammatical or that line, but in content form. If we think it's not going to assist the department in the long term, it will be good if we adopt it as suggested, because of the urgency, but we know that we can still review it. Thanks, Colleague Chair.
Oh, I want to clarify something. I'll call my members and then you'll come after. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, ma'am. If you look at the principles that apply here, it's about a strategy plan, and then, of course, the department must cost the strategy plan, because surely the strategy will cost money, the taxpayers' money, as was already said. So my concern is the strategy plan just available, or did the department already cost the strategic plan? Is this the cost of the strategic plan, is that already built into our budget? If not, then we sit with a big problem, because we're going to approve something, let's say on Monday. I also also agree on Monday, because it could take a few days to approve the strategy plan. It's not that we're going to do it in one day. But what about the cost of the strategic plan? We don't know if they cost it, yes or no. And that's my question. Thank you, Manjee.
Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. If members would remember, last week I was insisting that, since when I felt it was urgent, I was insisting that we should have done this early this week. But that did not go well with the members. Now we are going back there. One thing, I can see that it is a requirement that this state plan must be approved before we approve budget. And therefore, the best is to take this option of having this meeting on Monday, making it clear to the department, bereavement or no bereavement, making it clear to the department that when this is to be approved, we don't approve the budget if this is not coming. Therefore, so that everybody knows that we face the consequences, because that is our responsibility of oversight. Let's take this date of the Monday, but let's make it clear to everyone in the department that this date is where we are under pressure, we are already in violation, but we wanted that it to be done on this date and no later. And therefore, any failure of this, everybody must know that consequences, because it must be done. Because if we had a chance, we would have gone for the option of asking for the extension, which I don't think it is possible. But since it must be done, we must do it under this pressure. If we say Monday, pronto, then Monday and nothing else. It must be done. Thank you.
Chair, perhaps to clarify Honorable Mabasa, the strat plan has not been approved by the portfolio committee, meaning it can be amended. That's why I was saying, in anticipation, the portfolio committee can adopt. Number two, Braking, in terms of the timelines, I was under the impression that it should be 5 days before the debate in terms of the ATC. But I heard yesterday that it should be 5 working days before the debate. I don't know which one is. You will guide me on that one.
So meaning we should adopt at least 5 days, 5 working days before the debate. You will clarify that in relation to the proposed Monday meeting.
Thank you, Chair. May I'll request that I'll just go and consult of the exact dates. I mean exact days, so that I don't misrepresent or misguide the committee.
Honorable Nash, followed by Honorable Kruger. Everybody follow what has been raised by Honorable Crook. Okay. Honorable Mesh.
Chairperson, I know that there are some votes that have been swapped around to give those that were not ready time to conclude what they needed to do. Environmental affairs is one of them. Would it be possible to find out if there are departments that are ready? So that we can swap dates, maybe delay our vote to a later date. Because if there are others that are ready, then the swapping can be possible. It has happened before. So that we are not under unnecessarily too much pressure next week.
The debate of the budget vote, small business was supposed to take place on the 10th, and they asked for a swap with DECO, which is why yenzeka ngomhlaka 17. But the challenge is that in asking for that swap, there was no attention given, or maybe the department, the DG, wanted it done that way, that the date of the debate by the portfolio committee takes place, arrives before the conclusion of the strike plan, so as to put things through the window. A portfolio committee becomes the one that is found wanting in terms of having agreed or not agreed on the strike plan. Because the APPs relate to the strike plan, and that is the point that has been being raised, even on the first day when we were with the Department of Public Service and Administration. 3 members asked a question that was trying to unearth that, to say, why are we here when you have not concluded the issue of the strike plan? Because when you come to us to talk about a strike plan with an organogram, so that we can then apply our minds in relation to how we know the department to be mandated to do, and the capacity and all those things that the department has to do as a portfolio committee. But we were then promised that consultation process was going to happen on the following Monday, meaning that by the time the department was then present, was supposed to present the strat plan and the APP, that process would have been concluded. The fact that the department came on the 25th and did not present a strat plan means that that process had not been concluded. They presented an APP without a strat plan that has been concluded in terms of the consultation and then presented to the portfolio committee to say, yes, we agree with this strat plan. And therefore, the APPs are incongruent with the strat plan. The APPs are the activities that are actually implementing the strat plan. I don't know whether I'm making myself clear now. Honorable
Chair, thank you for that clarity, but allow me to go to the extreme. First, I would like to establish whether there is no sign of intransigence on the part of the DG or the department. When they were made aware after the last meeting of this problem, what efforts did they try to resolve? Because they knew that we were going to have this meeting, and this was a serious issue. And I think Honorable Trans was saying several times that we cannot approve this budget report on the basis of we having had no strategic plan. Unless someone tells me that understanding never went to the department, the DG never knew about that. That is a requirement, which is a requirement for today's meeting. That being why I was putting pressure that maybe we should have done it last Monday. But now, we are going to have serious implications here, but now I just want to know. That's why I'm insisting that I want to know if there is no sign of intransigence, which to me means a lot. When they knew that this is a requirement and this meeting of today requires this, did they make any effort to rectify this?
Honorable.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Firstly, I think Honorable Wapkapa is addressing this to all of us in the House as a question. It's clear, Wapkapa, that there were no efforts that were made, as far as I understand. But you see, from what Wapkapa is saying, Chairperson, it comes to my mind that maybe we have also ourselves to blame. We have been very soft to the DG. We have been very soft. We'll say things and we'll say things are not happening. And now we are in this mess. And should this thing, Chairperson, catches the media, you will be on boiling water on behalf of all of us, not the DG. So that is why I insist, Chair, that we really call them. And I think it's proper that we can check these things of working days, blah blah blah. But we have no choice. We have to be strict and aggressive so that we protect even ourselves. Because some of the things that we are doing here, we account to our parties. When such thing goes out, all of us, our parties, will want to know, how do you approve this without this? How will you say you commit such funds in the anticipation that one day things will be okay? And it won't be a good picture for everyone, Chairperson. So I really insist that, since it is clear now that swapping also, that whatever is proposed might not be easy, we have to push by this thing Monday so that maybe on Tuesday we can compromise some of the committees, some of us, when there's a need, and also look at it. But basically I'm saying, we have ourselves to blame. We've been very soft to the department.
And this is not a small thing. We've been somehow undermined. If the contract advisor is saying the state plan has been there, my question is, if the department realized that on this day we'll be passing a budget vote without them giving us a plan, what are they saying to themselves? What are they thinking? Now they'll be coming here, putting those posters, all those things that marketing they did, knowing exactly that they haven't given us any plan as to how this budget is going to be used. They are somehow undermining us. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Committee Chair. No, I think we have discussed the matter fairly adequately, that we cannot get more information beyond what we have. The only information that's outstanding is what the committee is asking the secretary to do, you know, just so that as we do things on the report, we do them with certainty. But I would suggest that we find out from ourselves, because just so that in terms of Monday, I support Monday, but we must check ourselves now. We must persuade each other now that let's all please come on Monday. And I suggest we check if there is any member that will not be able to make it on Monday. But I second or third the suggested Monday.
Honorable
Chair, I think to do ourselves a favor, let's go through everything that is not based on the availability of the state plan, so that when that state plan comes and we approve, that is the part remaining, so that today is not a wasted day. Otherwise, if I was allowed to use the military tendency, I would have said, let's attend the meeting and call them to be here tonight for that state plan. Tonight. By tomorrow, as we said, they've gone through. So that we are cover ourselves, even the days that we are, we don't know that it's 5 days or 7 days. But we've already been too soft. Yes, we've already been too soft. But this tendency and implication by the department under the DG, I think it must be elevated. There must be a way of handling it, of resolving it, because we're in trouble, deliberately in trouble. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I'm just a bit covered with Comrade Tsaba has said. Because I was looking at Monday and listening to the content advisor say the strat plan needs 5 working days. I was a bit confused if that Monday will be relevant considering the 5 working days. But what Comrade Kappa has said, I just want to agree with him saying we need to meet the department not later than tomorrow. Let's call them tomorrow. They must be here tomorrow morning and meet with them, because I believe that Monday will be a bit late. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Krug.
Ma'am, if the members also remember correctly, last week when we discussed it, it was also we also talked about the political process. Of course, remember, we must take this to Parliament, and in Parliament we must say we adopt this budget or not. So if we don't succeed of getting these things right,
then we can follow a political process in Parliament and say we don't adopt the budget. And I don't know what's the consequences of that. I mean, I think it never happened before, so I don't know what's the consequences of it. And we need experts. We need experts to come and talk to us as a committee so that we can make informed decisions, because we don't know the consequences of all this not happening or happened, and the political consequences and the consequences of small. There's a lot of consequences. So I think we also need some subject experts' advice on this. Thank you.
Honourable.
No, thanks, Chair. I just want to disagree with Comrade, Honourable Kruger. When we're passing the budget, we consider our people on the ground. We can't just say we can't pass the budget because of the failure of the department. We'll be failing our people if we don't pass the budget. That is my concern, Chair. Thanks.
Can I close this matter and say, let us give the committee secretary an opportunity to give us a feedback on the consultation that he went to.
Can I then propose a tea break for 3 minutes while you are still looking of the beauties from there?
The combo looking at any Hamba Nyago debate. And we already at 11. We only have 1 hour for those that are leaving at 12. I was going to suggest anyone who needs tea can just grab it here, so that we can go through what is in front of us whilst we are waiting for the response on the consultation. But there's one point that I want to make. Okay. The committee should always be vigilant not to be rendered ineffective by the department. Don't allow yourself to be seen as a committee that is weak, whose performance is dependent on the performance of the department. There's a difference between the department and Parliament, and the Portfolio Committee represents Parliament. And the Portfolio Committee doesn't account to the department. It's the department that accounts to the Portfolio Committee. So we should never make a mistake of allowing the DG to deviate from the processes of Parliament such that the committee is hamstrung in terms of concluding its own work because the department is failing to conclude its own processes. The issue of the strat plan that had not been concluded with the Department of Public Service and Administration was discussed at length when we were engaging with the Department of Public Service and Administration. And the contradictions between the department and the Department of Small Business and the Department of Public Service and Administration, which they had to go and sort out before they come to us. failure by the department to engage in that process then renders the portfolio committee ineffective in terms of concluding its own work. So it's not the department which was going to be looked at as having failed to perform its duties. It is the portfolio committee that was going to be looked at to say, how dare you come to us as parliament and say we should adopt this when you have not seen the strategic plan and you have not engaged on the strategic plan and you have also not verified with the Department of Public Service and Administration that that strategic plan that is being presented to you has now been concluded. So this issue is not only about the department, it is also about parliament playing its role effectively and efficiently. Thirdly, when we engage on this report, we should be mindful of the fact that some of the things that are contained on that threatened, although it has not been concluded, are serious observations in a sense that the department can't delegate its responsibilities to entities which also have got a capacity problem. So the threat plan is very key in telling us what is the direction that this department is taking. If the department is delegating its obligations to the entities, what is it that the department is going to be doing? What is the political reason for doing that? So I just thought it is very, very important so that we do not allow UDG to pull a wool.
Thank you.
What we are saying is late. It's true, but late. Late in the sense that my feeling is that at this stage, learn to what has happened to us now, we should do something about it. I don't know what it is. While we want this department to come and do and present this so that we must be able to have to do something about the report. But my strong feeling is that for us not to be taken for granted, let's do something about this behavior.
Honorable Crook.
And Madam Chair, what worries me the most, I mean, surely this indicates that there's some officials that didn't do their job, DG included. And by the end of the year, or whenever they get bonuses, they stand in the queue to get huge bonuses. So this committee must also make sure that we make sure that this officials that's implicated in this huge problem, when it's bonus time, there's consequences. Thank you.
Chair, can I propose that perhaps we move to the next recommendation, just to ensure that when we respond or when we seek external opinion, we have a holistic picture of what is it that we are dealing with here. Because some of the issues, they are interrelated. So my proposal is perhaps we should, you know, just to make sure that the members understand what is being raised in the budget vote report. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. The next recommendation.
The next recommendation, Chair, as I was saying, that the issues here are sort of interrelated. There is an issue. It's also, as correctly pointed out, Chairperson, that it involves also the revised threat plan, but it's a matter that falls outside of the department, the organizational structure, which must be approved by DPSA. So the recommendation here, it says, those issues must be thoroughly concluded and resolved. And in the same manner, it is important for this portfolio committee to know which of the two organizational structures is being implemented by the department as of the 1st of April 2018. Just to go back a little bit, during 2017, there was a similar challenge around the issue of the organizational structure. UDPSA ended up saying the department must revert back to the startup structure because of they couldn't finalize the APP and the proposed program structure, which is currently on the 2018-19 APP. So I thought I should raise this issue, Chairperson. So the consultation between DPSA and the department, it was supposed to have happened last week, Monday, Chairperson, if I'm not mistaken. But upon following up with the DPSA, I did not get a sense if this particular meeting said. In fact, the gentleman that I spoke to from DPSA further said, in as far as the DPSA is concerned, the department is or should be implementing the startup structure. The startup structure, for instance, has three programs instead of four programs. So, honestly, from where I'm sitting, I as an advisor to the portfolio committee, I'm not even sure which of the two which of the two structures are being implemented by the department. It's a matter that, you know, the portfolio committee should, you know. Can I move to 18.3, Chair? It also relates to Istret Plan again. 18.3, the portfolio committee must be briefed comprehensively with respect to transfers of DBSB programs to its agencies before giving a go-ahead to a revised Istret Plan. The revised Istret Plan is, in fact, the discussions have already started to shift some of the functions from the department. You're talking here of a NIBUS, a CIS, a Enterprise Incubation Program. Some of the programs are being shifted to CIFA, some are being shifted to CEDA. And the Portfolio Committee has not been consulted on this particular matter. So, you deserve to be briefed thoroughly as to what are the implications on the organizational structure, for instance, that is currently being discussed with the DPSA. What are the financial implications? What are the staff implications? With regards to staff implications, Chairperson, I think the Portfolio Committee at some point, it's an open secret now that there was an anonymous communique that was sent to the Portfolio Committee. And that communique deals with some of the issues around this particular matter, the transfer of functions, like people apparently are being moved from the department to the entities without a proper consultation. So it's an issue really that the portfolio committee, you know, must be briefed on. You need to understand the implications of doing this, because you wouldn't want a situation where people will come back and say, we alerted you of these inefficiencies in the department, but you did nothing. So I think this one is critically important, Chairperson. Well, 1, 2, 3, it speaks to the observation number one around the issue of the threat plan and the implications. Thanks, Chair.
Nomtha. Could you go into my email and print a letter that is from the whistleblower in the department? Make copies for all the members, because this actually speaks to that, because the issue of consultation in terms of what has to be removed from the department to the entities without a consultation also to, is that the letter for? So if in the department also there is that concern of lack of consultation, and also there is lack of openness in terms of sharing information with the portfolio committee as to what informs that migration of functions from the department to the entities. But also there has been a slow pace in the establishment of the National Small Business Advisory Council, which would have been consulted if such a move was to happen, because a department can't decide all by itself that this must go to this entity, this must go to this entity, without taking into consideration the views of the constituency of the department, and also taking views of the portfolio committee and the organized structures that are representing small businesses and cooperatives. It's just a decision of a department, but when you look at the whistleblower's letter, it's not then a decision of the department, it's a decision of the DG. Honorable Kevin, honorable members.
Now, I can see that there's a lot to be done and there's a lot involved. But now I want to appeal to us that, you remember I said, for all this behavior, something must be done. And I stick to that one. But now, for this purpose of this report, I recommend that we deal with anything that is not prohibiting the report to be adopted, so that we deal with these other matters and we remain with those that we want the department to solve tomorrow. And we approve. Thank you.
Honorable Mabar.
Colleague Chairperson, we have already suffered as a portfolio committee, we have already suffered the contradiction and the ambiguous nature of the relationship between CIFA and IDC. So for this to be compounded or to be worsened now, you know, it's only really killing the department under our eyes. So we cannot afford to be party to that. So I think we should, if possible, stop that. For lack of better words, it's like outsourcing the responsibilities of the department by the department to foreign entities. You know, I think we should take that as unacceptable.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've been quiet listening, and you see, this is too discouraging as a member of parliament, because the problem of department, we have been talking that the accounting officer is wrong. So when the fish start to rot, it start on the head. So I don't know why the minister or the ministry become so stubborn and continue to run the department. Like, what kind of political sense is she putting in the department? Remember when the department started, we as EFF, we said, no, this department is useless. It is just a cadre deployment movement that people must get position of minister and DGs. But the mission and the vision of the department was correct for the radical economic transformation for the poor. But it's like the people who are leading it politically or be administrative, no, they are not from that nonsense of, to them it's nonsense to politically, economically emancipation to the poor. They are right on what the EFF said, that the department is there for cadre deployment. Instead of them changing, we understand when we started that no, this is a new department, but it can't be a new department until this the last term now, the last time of the term. So I think here we will just shout and shout. So we as the EFF, we are going to reject the budget in Parliament, and we want to tell the country that this department. Motive to be initiated was correct, but it's unfortunate there is no political will and political leadership in this department since it started, because nothing happening, there's nothing changed in terms of the life of the poor people, in terms of the small business, there's nothing radical change since we started. We sit here, the chairperson, you will talk, we'll go to check, to oversight, but we find the opposite. It's very, very much hurting, because it's our people who are suffering, and we're not changing the lives of the people. 5 years while sitting here, wasting time talking this and this and this. So I'm very much disappointed, because everything is, now the wheel are out of the department. The car can't move at all. And it's like the minister, she's not even worried about this thing. For her, it's business as usual. There's nothing strange. So it's very much hurting. I know you as ANC guys, you can't say it loud because it's you're part of that. We will do that job for you.
Honorable Mthembu, followed by Honorable Kruger, and then Honorable Mngabe.
Thank you, Chair. I do agree with Honorable Mlazi, but somewhere I don't agree. We are in agreement that we are about the people. We are here because of the people. We understand what is it that our people faced with. But I wanted to suggest this, that in terms of these recommendations that I hear, we must say it as the portfolio committee. We will not divide ourselves, as Comrade Mlaudzi is saying, UANC. But as the portfolio committee, we must really recommend that there should be a recourse. Where there should be a recourse, there must be a recourse. If a person has conducted a misconduct, there should be consequences. Honorable Kruger earlier on, he mentioned the issue of bonuses and what have you. But I think we must be clear. We must be clear, because we have been patient. You know, we are really disappointed. But we have been patient. But it can't continue like this, because people outside there are expecting us as members of parliament to be their mouthpiece, to be their advocates, and we can't fail them as members of parliament in not advocating what will be pleasing to them. As Honorable Miles is saying, no, they would not be adopting the budget. This budget is important for the poor of the poorest. We are, but those that are not doing justice to our people, they must be dealt with in a manner that they deserve. Officials who are earning a salary that they are not deserving, you know, people who are stealing from our people, they must be dealt with. There must be consequences. So, you know, that's my proposal, that in our recommendations, we need to show where we are happy. We will say that we are happy. As the chairperson has said earlier on, that we will not have negatives in everything. Yes, where there are positives, we will say, yeah, we are happy with these positives. But where we must also stress, emphasize that, you know what, people are to face consequences. There must be a recourse. I thank you, Chair.
I would like to committee secretary to give us a report back before we continue. I have noted their hands.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apologies, honourable members. From the manager or from consultation, it is that we cannot proceed with a report of an APP without having a strategic plan. And then number two, we cannot approve the report and say disapprove the budget and yet not giving the department an opportunity to make a presentation. So the department must be called to make a presentation on a strategic plan which informs the APP. Then the better thing is that the days that we're talking about, they're saying it's more on a bill. So because we're dealing with a report, the only thing is that it has to be 80 seats before the debate of the budget vote report. So that's the situation. So in other words, that we have to give the department an opportunity to present, and then should there be gaps in the strategic plan that is being identified by the committee can recommend on that and then call the department within particular days to say because of these identified gaps in the strategic plan, then to give a recommendation what to do with them. Thank you.
It is now clear. Again.
The only additional concern is if we as a portfolio committee are taking all this trouble to find out the procedural sequences, why is it that the department is also not worried to find out these procedural practices? Actually, it should be worrying them more than it's worrying us. So it's just a question that arises before you are to make comments. Thanks, Colleague Chair.
Papa, you want to respond on that?
I wanted to say there will be, I think we'll give ourselves enough time to deal with all this, and if sanctions are necessary, let it be. But it seems to me that first of all, let's address now this as King is briefing us, reschedule and get organized so that this must get through in the way we want. But there is this common thing I hear here from my colleagues that because something has to be done about this disaster. But now, I don't want it to be on our way, make us not to do the work we're supposed to do, because we know we have to come and handle it. But let's move. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think we need to finalize as to whether we are calling them to come tomorrow or we are speaking to Monday, having received the report from King. Tomorrow. Honorable Chuck.
I think they will only take us seriously if we want them tomorrow. No excuse.
We all agree that we are calling them for tomorrow. Okay. Can we allow the committee secretary, Nonqedo, can you start processing the calling of the department to come and present the strike plan? Say. Yes. Eternally, Manomabas. Cut. Is there a caucus tomorrow? No, Mabasa will handle that. Yeah, it is a serious matter. You see, what pains me in all this and makes me angry in all this is that Parliament has got its own processes, well articulated, chairpersons and with attention on those processes. The department represented by the DG would come in a meeting of a portfolio committee and challenge a portfolio committee to say, no, this is how things should be done. And I think that we have been too lenient. We find ourselves into this situation because we allowed the DG to tell the portfolio committee how to conduct its business. To an extent where issues would be seen as the chairperson against the DG, when in fact the chairperson was leading the portfolio committee to execute its mandate accordingly. The chairperson had nothing personal with the DG, nothing at all. But the chairperson wants the portfolio committee to do its work as it's supposed to do, and the chairperson is not chairing a portfolio committee for the first time. So that is the challenge. We are where we are today because the DG would want the portfolio committee to do things according to the interests of the DG, not according to how the portfolio committee is supposed to be doing its work. And the portfolio committee opened that gap. And it is important for the portfolio committee to close that gap and realize the pothole that has been opened for the portfolio committee. Then, instead of sailing smoothly, the portfolio committee is now riding on big potholes which are created by being lenient and allowing a department to change the manner in which the portfolio committee is supposed to be doing its work. Honorable Crook.
Madam Chair, I agree with you, but also I agree with one of my colleagues and say I question the political leadership of this department. If you remember correctly, our DG came from agriculture, and according to a lot of passageway talkings, she wasn't a big success there either. So nobody knew. It was a big surprise when she was appointed at Small Business, and of course to the joy of Agriculture Department, because you know, that's the one point. And then the second point, if you look at the leadership, political leadership of this committee, if you look at the disaster, or I don't know what to call it, of the deputy ministers. I mean, our minister of small business stood alone out there. There was no support from the beginning. It was evident that there was a problem between her and the deputy minister, and then they changed that deputy minister to somebody else, and I loved Honorable November, but she's not, you know, she didn't give any support. So there's no support politically, leadership-wise, to this department. So what I want to say is, you mustn't take the blame at all. I think as a committee, this is one of the best committees in Parliament. I mean, we work very good together, opposition, non-opposition, we work for a cause. And lead by you as a chairperson. But the rest, it's a big problem. And I put it in front of the door of the minister. I think there must be also consequences for her. Thank you.
I had noted Honorable Mungabe, followed by Honorable Meshre.
Thank you, Chairperson. I so wish Chair... It's a pity it won't happen that I can be a DG of this department just one term. I really so wish. The reason why I'm saying that, Chairperson, is that the vision that we have as members of this committee about this department clearly is totally different from what the heads of the department have. We do not have the same vision, yet we are working on the same department, but the outcomes and goals that we want to achieve are quite different. Chair, I just want to speak on this letter. That if all what is there from the whistleblower is correct, then it says to me there's no future of the department. One, if people that are placed there not according to their skills, capability, qualification, there's a reshuffling now and then, it talks to a futureless institution. Any business person who can see this letter can just close down that department. If the president, as a business person, can see this, he can just close it down and say there's no future here. We are wasting taxpayers' money. My proposal, Chairperson, is if it's cool with the members, because we must also protect the whistleblowers, but act on what has been raised. It would be incorrect of us to receive this, and we say we will call the DG to come here, and obviously she will deny all these things. If I propose that if we have time, anytime soon, that we visit the department headquarters unannounced oversight to the department, just to see all these things and interact with the staff and even see the setting up and all those things in the department, because this letter is very worrying, Chairperson. Even if we can approve 20 billion rand, if we still have these things happening, that man will be down in the drain. We will not have done justice to the people of South Africa. That's my contribution. I think Honorable Mlaudzi is correct to say, when the department started, the vision was very good. Everyone could see that poorest of the poor now will be able to get something on those cooperatives, spaza shops, and all those things. It was like we are going directly to the people to unlock the potential on the business side. But as we move on now, it's 3 years to 4 years, really there's nothing tangible. It's like we're going back, 10 steps backwards. I really wish that we launch the unannounced oversight to this department. But also, the DG must be held accountable. Because when we read, oh, this person is very concerned, and this thing sounds genuine. Because what we see as well as a community is that there is no progress, there is no future in the department. So these might be the causes that are hindering success in the department. I was in agriculture committee, Honorable Kruger. I can attest to what you are saying. I told my other colleagues that I was disappointed to find the professor here, because in agriculture I raised the same thing, to take an academic to a position that needs someone who understands working with the people down there in terms of service delivery. But well, we do not deploy. But that's my contribution, Chairperson, that we must do something on the letter. It compromises not only the image of the department, but also the future of the department. And we'll be hoping that Honorable Lawitz will say those things on behalf of all of us, as he has promised, as a radical fighter.
Chairperson, I think about 3 weeks ago I did make this proposal that was made by Honorable Mwambe, that we make an unannounced visit to the headquarters, because what is in this letter is damning. It's very serious. And this committee is one of the most important committees in Parliament. If we have to address poverty and unemployment in this institution or in the country, this committee has to be in the forefront. I mean, for 90% of the economy to be dependent on small businesses, we are very far from reaching the target. And one of the reasons is, I think, in the department, the person leading the department. Now, I overheard that the DG is planning to reapply for the post, and maybe we should jump the gun and make a statement, just in case. But I did hear that, we are in this mess because of her performance, and we are not happy about that, about her performance. The issue of this department being the most important needs to have people that are properly skilled, and we should, I'm not sure whether lodging an objection would be okay, that people who we have been told were not best performers in DTI have been dumped into this committee, so that this committee would be set up to fail. I think we have been set up to fail. And our image as individuals, the image of the portfolio committee, and the image of the parties we are representing, obviously is at stake. That is why steps have to be taken, definite steps have to be taken, to assure the public that we are serious about our call to help bring jobs to the poorest of the poor. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I understand the sentiment of my colleagues, but unfortunately I would see it the other way. I think we have reached a stage where we should, after we have gone through this and having had, we are already having a situation where we are supposed to deal with the existing situation in the department. I think we have reached a stage where we must formally follow the parliamentary processes, including one of needs be a formal investigation based on this behavior linked with the information from the whistleblower. To me, this is the only chance we have now to resolve the problem in this department. If we miss now, we miss it forever. Thank you.
Honorable Kruger.
I'm Chair, just to come back to this letter, I think as a committee we will be very irresponsible if we approve a budget without seeing the new organogram, and we sit with this knowledge that we sit in our arms. Because this morning I didn't know this. Now I know this. So if we approve a budget on not seeing that new organogram, or not sorting this out, it's going to be a huge problem. It will be irresponsible for us as a committee. Thank you.
Honourable Member.
Comrade Chair, I just wanted to throw you to seek clarity from Honourable Mngwabe when he suggested that we undertake an oversight visit to the department. Whether he implies that we should visit certain entities run or entities directed areas, or is he implying visiting the headquarters of the department? Because when we talk of that visit, it must serve a purpose of what we, you know, of our portfolio committee. So I couldn't get clarity what his idea was. It could be that we visit one of or some of those places that have reflected how poorly the department is performing. You know, it could be that, but it could also be headquarters, so I could not understand.
Thank you, Chair. My proposal, Honourable Mabasa, through you, Chairperson, was based on the letter. And when you read the letter, you find that the whistleblower is speaking about the department, a department, not the entities. The letter doesn't seem to be coming from SIDA or SIFA, but it speaks directly to the headquarters, Pretoria, of the department. I was speaking precisely with the to the department, but well, it's open for members to engage and expand the vision, the proposal. But I was directly to the department.
Honourable Mabasa will be followed by Honourable
Nshwe,
and then Gumede.
Then I understand then from that proposal that we discount going to areas that we have visited. But to me, this interaction could also take place here, where we invite the department and engage it. If we undertake this oversight to the offices of the department, then we must, within ourselves, set terms of reference to say these are some of the things that we are aiming to achieve out of that visit. So it means we need to challenge ourselves further so that we clarify ourselves. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Honourable Member.
Chairperson, I believe it is important to go to the headquarters to see the conditions under which staff operates, and to also sense the mood of the department. Because if you call a department to Parliament, obviously the DG would want to come with them when she hears that they are called. So, but when we have an unannounced visit, we just go in there and we start chatting to different staff members and going to look at, sense the mood. I think that would help us to better understand the conditions under which they work, and also help us make an informed decision on what steps to take to correct the atmosphere that is definitely not conducive for productivity.
Comment?
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, it's a request on my side, Chairperson. Why don't we again continue with the recommendations? Perhaps so that we left with 10 recommendations now. Then we can have a discussion thereafter. I think it's important for me to take our members through these recommendations so that each and every recommendation is understood in relation to the observation made. Because, as a writer of the report, you may find that there are underlying issues, that still needs to be explained. And as we go through these recommendations, that's the only opportunity where such issues can then come out.
May I proceed?
Okay. Recommendation 18.5, Chairperson.
Can we park the issue of the whistleblower? We will come back to it.
Okay.
And how we are going to intervene. Okay.
Okay, Chairperson, 18.4, it relates to the program review initiative. The recommendation, it says it must now be concluded. Members will recall that there was a first presentation done in November 2015. The second presentation was done on 23rd of November 2016. There were disagreements between the department and the portfolio committee with regards to the programs that must be discontinued, that must be transferred, or that must be retained. One of those programs, for instance, is the CRAFT CSP, which was migrated to IDC. As a result, in terms of the current budget, there was a 10 million rand that was transferred to IDC. There was also an issue around the CIVAN, the Women's Fund. I believe it was also transferred to IDC. Those programs were transferred to IDC despite the portfolio committee objection that the programs are actually aligned with the mandate of the department, therefore they should be retained, but they are not there. 18.5, Chairperson, the department must furnish portfolio committee with an action plan. The vacancies within the department of the deputy directors general and chief directors has been there since 2015, and there is no clear rationale as to why these positions are still open. So the recommendation here, it says the proposed plan with clear timelines must be clearly spelled out and be attached to the 2018-19 APP as an annexure. So that's an instruction. That one is it's simple, straightforward, Chair. 18.6 speaks to a CIFA issue as well. Chairperson, we have not made this recommendation in the past. I will read it out. As noted in the previous pages, the Portfolio Committee has no idea why DSBD and EDD entered into a memorandum of agreement to co-manage CIFA when DSBD proclamation in 2014 made it clear that CIFA should report to DSBD. The Portfolio Committee Secretariat must facilitate a meeting with EDD Portfolio Committee with a view to making a recommendation that CIFA must be released back to EDD. This will certainly discharge DSBD of unnecessary frustration and in fact allow the department adequate time and space to deal with material issues of interest and concerns to small enterprise community. If the Secretariat is unsuccessful in scheduling this meeting between the two committees, the chairpersons and the whips of the two committees must meet, ideally before the 31st of May 2018, just to discuss this matter and put it to rest once and for all. I mean, this arrangement between CIFA, the department, it's untenable. And there is no clear plan on the APP of the department as to how they plan to go about resolving it.
Are we sure that we want CIFA to go back to EDD? Is that the point?
No.
It's a point note member. CIFA must come here because, as far as I know, CIFA stands for Small Business Enterprise Financial Agency, and EDD has nothing to do with small business. So it states here that that the portfolio committee, with a view of recommending that CIFA to be released back to EDD. I don't think there's any recommendation from this committee. I could be mistaken that CIFA must go back to EDD.
Remember, Honorable Kruger, this is a draft report. The portfolio committee is at liberty to reject the proposed recommendation or accept it. And perhaps maybe ask a question that if we are making this recommendation, what are the plans going forward? For instance, there is a recommendation around the conceptualization of the cooperative development fund, you know, that the portfolio committee is making, that in terms of the Cooperatives Amendment Act 2013, that fund should, that institution should have been established by now. You know, or the portfolio committee can amend this, you know, in a way that will, you know, appeal to the portfolio. It's just a recommendation which may be amended. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Chapa.
Thank you, Chair. I had the same concern or the statement as Honourable Kruger. My recommendation here would be in reverse, other way round, that if the portfolio committee must facilitate the meeting, but that meeting must seek to nullify the MOA. If that MOA continues to make the department operate in this way, on CIFA, and CIFA not absolutely accounting to the department. But I'm just seeing it around along such lines. But I think we need CIFA, but what we don't need is the interference in our management. I mean, I'm talking with the department in this case of CIFA. Thank you.
What I'm hearing from the two members who have argued on this point is that when this department was established, it was made clear that CIFA should report to DSBD. What remained a challenge is that CIFA is registered as a subsidiary of ITC. Is it ITCS, which then, in my view, would have required a delinking CIFA from ITC, which would just be an amendment of the act that established CIFA as a subsidiary of ITC, and then fully migrate, make CIFA a stand-alone entity under the Department of Small Business Development. What creates, so in my view, that is what this committee should be advancing, that A, because that is what we have been saying all along, that A, CIFA is an acronym meaning Small Enterprise Financial Agency, Financing Agency. Small Enterprises here is not with a EDD. So that is a dealing that, in my view, should be made to say we should push for the amendment of the Act and then delink CIFA from IDC and EDD. But the second issue that relates to CIFA is the funding model. For as long as CIFA is linked to IDC, its funding model will be informed by where the money that is with CIFA is using comes from. And in terms of the constituency that is supposed to be serviced by CIFA, it's the micro, the survivalists, which are not supposed to be subjected to the stringent policies and lending policies and criteria that CIFA is currently following at the moment, which will then be effected only after CIFA has been delinked from IDC. Remember, in one of the meetings, I even said why do we have grants on one hand and loans with high rate of interest instead of having the soft loans as opposed to grants? Because the grant does not come back, but a soft loan, a loan with maybe a 3% interest or zero interest, is money that comes back and enables you to continuously fund, as opposed to a situation where you give a grant, you move on, you don't even care what is happening there. And on the other hand, in terms of the loan, you give a loan with a high interest rate, you are even using intermediaries. I even mentioned the fact that one advantage for us to review that would be to push for the establishment of the cooperative banks, because the cooperative banks would be the ones that are providing loans to members to establish enterprises, as opposed to having members that are sitting and expecting that a government is going to fund them with everything. In other countries, SMMEs and community-owned enterprises are funded by cooperative banks, but the government makes the environment conducive enough for people to have their own financial institutions in the form of a cooperative bank, where they can put their own money, and then government can come in, like in Bangladesh, the Grameen Bank. So I am then saying that this recommendation should be the other way around. It's a recommendation that says, let us de-link CIFA, bring CIFA to the small business, and de-link it from the EDD. Honorable Kruger?
Yeah, it's important to read 18.6 with 18.7, because you will also remember that for many, many meetings, we stressed the point that CIDA and CIFA must be one organization. And 18.7 talked to that. So I think we need to, if everybody is happy that 18.6 is the other way around, then we just need to stress the fact in 18.7 that the two entities must become one, so that they can serve the small business community better.
Chairperson, I was going to go further to say we can combine 18.6 and 18.7. We can make a point around the issue of the MOA. I will craft as you recommend, Chairperson, because CIFA is founded in terms of the IDC Act. The Portfolio Committee may not necessarily be able to amend the IDC Act. in order to de-link CIFA from IDC. But I will see how I craft it. Then I will combine it with this recommendation to make it just one recommendation, if that is acceptable to members.
Okay. Yes, my understanding is that we are dealing with the state-owned entities here, both CIFA and IDC. And South Africa is one state with three spheres of government, which then means that although this portfolio committee can not process the act that delinks CIFA from IDC, a portfolio committee that IDC falls under, which is EDD, would be better positioned to do that. EDD, Trade and Industry, and Small Business Development all fall under Economic Transformation Cluster. So the overall objective is development of small business, which include SMMEs and cooperatives. And based on that overall overall objective, how do we then structure the institutional arrangement? What institutional arrangement needs to be made to make that exercise possible for it to be easily achieved? It then requires the three portfolio committees to sit down together and discuss that and agree on which portfolio committee will process that particular amendment. It may not necessarily be this portfolio committee. It may be the portfolio committee on economic development, but it will be doing that in the interest of the portfolio committee on small business development, and also in adhering to the mandate and the proclamation that a CIFA is now going to report and to the Department of Small CIFA now falls under the Department of Small Business Development, and therefore cannot be a subsidiary company of another department. Simple as that. And I don't think Gucci is a very long amendment. It's a, for me, it's an amendment of a 1 or 2 page amendment that could facilitate the link between of CIFA and make it directly accountable to the Department of Small Business Development. It would also address the issue of confusion when people are approaching CIFA. And when CIFA is seen to be hurting and not addressing the felt needs of the people, whom do they report to? Do they report to EDD or IDC? And if the criteria and the policies are determined by IDC, not by this portfolio committee, then what is it that CIFA would be reporting to? What would the CIFA be reporting about to this portfolio committee? Can we then move to the next?
Okay. Thanks, Chair. 18.7 is regarding the Cooperatives Amendment Act 2013, which advocated for the creation of the Cooperative Development Fund as a statutory entity under CDA. The Portfolio Committee hereby recommends that the Department must develop a well-articulated framework for leveraging cooperatives, financial institutions, and cooperative banks to unlock access to capital for small enterprises. I've gone through the revised strategic plan. It's actually mute on this and other critical issues that deals with access to finance. This framework will be presented to the portfolio committee before the end of quarter one, 2018-19 financial year, and its implementation should resume before the end of quarter two, 2018-19 financial year. Can I continue, Chair?
No. My concern here is that we are making this recommendation, fair enough. But when you look at the approach that is used by South Africa as opposed to the international trend, South Africa is using a top-down approach in development of cooperatives. All countries that are doing well in cooperatives are actually using a bottom-up approach. All the structures that are established by government are the structures which the cooperatives themselves would have set. We want to establish this. Because cooperatives are structures that, and entities are people who want to resolve their own problems, who want to provide themselves with services. It's more about self-reliance and community sustainability. But the manner in which the South African government is driving the cooperative development agenda, it makes it the responsibility of the government to dictate and determine what structures should be there for cooperatives without strengthening the cooperatives to be the masters of their own destiny, to speak for themselves, and then the government responding and creating a conducive environment for cooperatives to achieve what they want to achieve. And for me, it would have served, this recommendation would have gone well if we had already been to Kenya, as we had planned to, and we had already been to the Mondragon, as we had planned to. Fortunately, King and myself went to Germany. The same approach exists in all countries where cooperatives are doing well. Everything that is done by government would be a proposal from the cooperatives, and the government's responsibility is to then say, yes, we agree, we are going to allow you, and this is how we are going to make it easy for you to conduct your businesses. And a radical economic transformation in South Africa will not only be achieved through the black economic empowerment. Radical economic transformation in South Africa relies more on enabling communities to have community-owned entities, and also enabling workers to have workers-owned entities, enterprises. That is what radical economic transformation means. It deals with the exploitation of one person by another person, by empowering the one who is being exploited to actually become self-reliant and do things for himself or herself. And that is what cooperatives do. So all these structures, the proposed structures, are actually based on a narrow perspective of developing cooperatives as opposed to developing communities, sustainable communities, using the concept of cooperatives. So, my view is that yes, the department can present all these things by the second quarter, but the finalization of what needs to be done has to also take into consideration the study tools that the portfolio committee has to undertake. Yes, the paragraph has to stand, but we need to also include in the same paragraph that when all this is done, it should be aimed at creating a conducive environment, not to take over and do for cooperatives that what they are supposed to be doing for themselves.
So in fact, I've drafted something here. Well, 18.9, the portfolio committee previously recommended that the department and CIFA must review the current model of using intermediaries, which are generally not easy to monitor and commonly charge high interest rates. The committee is of the view that there is a need to consider various models that are cost-effective and sympathetic to circumstances of micro and survivalist enterprises. For instance, emanating from its Mpumalanga visit, Mokwaneng village, the committee had recommended a cross model of integrating a grant and a shortfall to be covered by a loan. In addition, the committee had recommended that CIFA must consider equity acquirement as part of the diversification strategy and adding value to its target market. While the utilization of CFIs and cooperative banks had also been suggested as part of a broader government strategy to streamline access to finance, particularly for small enterprises lacking collateral.
Yes, Honourable Kruger.
Madam Chair, I think that paragraph is too long. We can only add something like the department and CIFA must align their strategy to government's
strategy or whatever. Because in this paragraph, we actually a little bit step over onto the operation side, I think. And we as a committee need to think strategically. So we must make sure that CIFAR and the department's strategy is in line with the ruling party's policies and strategy. And when that happens, then we can just manage the strategy. That's my feeling. Thank you, Chief.
Okay,
I hope I'm fair enough. I was, when I went through this paragraph, I was of the opinion that maybe if it would be good if it just stops there after survival enterprises and leave the example. I thought it would drive the message enough. Not unless.
The next one.
Point 10, it speaks to the issue of access to market. Without a strong private sector partnership, the department is not likely to go further. In line with the call made in the State of the Nation address by the former state president regarding the use of legislation, regulations, licensing, budget and procurement, and BEE, triple BEE charters to influence the behavior of the private sector and drive transformation, the department, in particular, the market access unit of the department, must also, in fulfillment of this previous BRRR recommendation, facilitate, together with the private sector, the creation of the wholesale and retail charter during 2018-19 financial year. Furthermore, and in relation to 18.10, the Portfolio Committee strongly recommends that a market access unit of the department must urgently develop a detailed and realistic market access strategy, contents of which will include plans to leverage 30% procurement set aside, scale up support to all projects previously visited by the Portfolio Committee in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, KZN, Mpumalanga, Gauteng and Free State provinces. Okay.
Madam Kroker.
Madam Chair, I will also just stop that paragraph at set aside. Full stop. On page 40, the last sentence. So we can stop the paragraph there at present procurement, set aside, full stop. We don't have to put the scale up support to all projects previously visited. Because it was actually the department was scale up all the projects, not just the projects that we previously visited.
In point 12, the high failure rate of cooperatives enterprises remains a constant reminder that CIS interventions, without providing necessary support to cooperatives such as infrastructure, capital and market access, skills development and systematic elimination of inefficiency costs have failed and therefore necessitate appraisals. In its current arrangement, the CIS is essentially about distributing of money to cooperatives with zero monitoring and evaluation. The committee is thus reiterating and stressing the agency by the department to finalize the review of the CSI at least before the end of quarter one in 2018-19 financial year. As recommended in 18.8 above, the committee reiterates that in providing support to cooperatives, the department needs to understand underlying principles of cooperative development fund, which is much more comprehensive and developmental in its approach than CIS. 18.13, as previously recommended, The minister is obligated in terms of Section 2 of the National Small Business Amendment Act to appoint members of the advisory board at least before the end of quarter 2 2018-19 financial year. Furthermore, the department needs to engage National Treasury to ascertain how much it would cost to establish necessary institutional support structures such as Cooperatives Development Agency, Cooperatives Advisory Council, Cooperative Development Fund, Cooperatives Tribunal. Such should include discussions with the Department of Education concerning the Cooperatives Training Academy, outcomes of which must be reported to the Portfolio Committee before the end of quarter 2, 2018-19 financial year. 18.14, the department must come up with a plan or strategy of retrieving small business functions and resources from other departments, estimated to be in the region of 15 billion rands. In the event that the department encounter challenges in either retrieving those small enterprises programs left in various departments or in creating intervention strategies to deal with this particular issue, the department must inform the Portfolio Committee so that a process of engaging other relevant committees in Parliament, as also engaging National Treasury, DPME and DPSA, is activated before the end of quarter 2, 2018-19 financial year. The last one, Chairperson, it's around the review of the National Small Business Act. It needs to be concluded without delay, and the bill must be tabled before Parliament on or before the end of quarter 2, 2018-19. In addition to the National Small Business Act, the review of the Cooperative Act must be clarified. The reason why we put this here is because it is not appearing on the revised strat plan of the department, meaning there are no plans to review it during this current period. Yet, on the APP on the department, it actually appears somewhere that one of the MTSF deliverables for the department will be the reviewing of the Cooperatives Act. So this particular issue must be clarified with the Portfolio Committee, as these have implications on the program and budget of the committee. So are reviews of the integrated strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship and small enterprises. This was actually outsourced to DPME. I think it was way back in 2016. The Portfolio Committee was informed that its review has been concluded, but it hasn't been submitted to the Portfolio Committee. And the review of the integrated strategy on the development and promotion of cooperatives. These have been under policy initiatives for three consecutive financial years without a hint of what their statuses are. It ends there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable Kruger.
Yes, ma'am. The last point of the Small Business Act. You know, for instance, in agriculture, they also talk about small farmers, micro farmers, and you know, there's certain definitions, or they try to create certain definitions of a small farmer. But I think in the Small Business Act, we need to define what is a small business. And that small business, if it's a small breeder, plant breeder, or a small doctor business, or a small medicine business, everybody in South Africa must then fall under that you know, definition of a small business. And if we can't do that, there will be chaos, because then people will tend to go where the more the benefit is of having a small or a micro business. So they will run around, you know, in sectors. So and it's important that we make sure that this Small Business Act is that it goes through on this date, because it's too long now, and nobody can finalize. No department can finalize their definition of small. Even we're going to have problems with the minimum wages, because there's some certain exclusions, or
there is people that want certain exclusions in minimum wages. But if we don't define a small business or a micro business, then how can that there be, there can't be exclusion, because nobody knows how big is a small business. And that's the problem. Because at the moment, I think that the Act defines a small business as a turnover of 50 million, am I right? So, you know, 200 million for a small business is a lot of money, you know. That's a big business. So we must talk about this. It's important.
Thank you, Chair. I think Uspu has assessed the mood of the meeting and justifiably decided that there's no 19. Correct? Yeah, okay, that's good. Now, further, Chair, I'm comfortable now with this. It's only that, unfortunately, I have a feeling that this one of the, we must give ourselves enough time, and also in the meeting, or whether it's before or after the department, maybe preferably before this one of the whistleblower, because I don't think we can do justice to it now, but it's worth thinking about it and have an approach, I mean, decide an approach of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. In the beginning, I mentioned that for me, all the observations that we have made are negative. Negative observations. And in fairness, I don't believe that the department would only have negative things that we can talk about. I take that, I relate that to just myself as a person, that I may have many weaknesses, but I think that I would also have some strength. And I wondered if, in my view, I think that it would be important for this portfolio committee to make an observation. Honorable Mlaudi did talk to that issue in his input, that the very establishment of this department is a positive observation that we need to make as this portfolio committee, because it relates to how the country, what the country has identified as its challenges, and the challenges mainly poverty, unemployment, and inequality. But I'm just going to focus on the two. The unemployment and poverty. I'm saying this because we need to clear, to make it clear out there that when we are pointing out at the negative or challenges that the department needs to address, we are not necessarily saying the department should go away. The department is needed. And it is actually needed to shift, to assist government to shift its budget from being a consumptive budget to a productive budget. what is currently being spent by government on social grants and free services. If this department was well capacitated and executing operational objectives that relate to empowering grant beneficiaries, particularly the child support grant beneficiaries, the parents of those children who are receiving child support grant. Just target them and empower them, create a space for them to be self-employed, and then be able to provide for their own children, is what this department can actually do to save government from spending a lot of money on social grants. I'm not saying that all the social grants that are there would go away because of this department. But there are those social grants that could be done away with in the long term as poor families become self-sufficient and able to provide for themselves. Therefore, the issue of the target in terms of who should be developed by this department and which department it has to work with, which departments it has to work with. The relationship between the Department of Small Business and the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs is very, very important, because that department has got local government. And each and every small business and a cooperative exists in a particular ward and in a particular village. And if the infrastructure development program does not take into account the infrastructural needs of SMMEs and cooperatives, and filter that in the planning process at a local government level, small businesses and cooperatives will not create the expected jobs in South Africa. Because a small business that operates as a hair salon that requires water will not have water, because there is no planning and there is no provision of that infrastructure. So that understanding between the Department of Small Business and the Department of Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs is very, very important, particularly in as far as development of feasibility studies and master plan for each and every ward in terms of the local economic development strategy, not at a municipality level only, but at a ward level. Because it is that master plan, which is a result of a feasibility study, that will attract investment and will then tell a cooperative what kind of business is likely to sustain in this area. Starting from the national special development perspective, going down to the local economic development perspective, but also the feasibility study now at a ward level to say what assets are there, so that the department doesn't throw away money, but there is a kind of influence in terms of discussion between the local economic development unit of a municipality and the Department of Small Business Development as to what role will be played by the department and how we then shall then influence the thinking that, yes, you may want to have an interest in having a mine in Umswabantu, but Umswabantu doesn't have minerals. You need to focus on agriculture, which will also influence the community skills development centers that are established in those areas to say, in an area that is good for agriculture, you don't then provide the training which does not relate to what that area is good for. So I'm saying the negative observations are very good because they are pointing at the capacity of the department. But then let us position the department in South Africa and say, is this department needed or not? And the answer, yes, big time. It's needed, but it has to be positioned and to be aligned to certain departments for it to perform optimally. And one of the departments that is key for me is the Department of Cooperative and Local Government and Traditional Affairs. The second one is the Department of Social Development, because currently, due to high rate of poverty and high rate of unemployment, the Department of Social Development is providing welfare services. It's operating like a welfare department, not a social development department. A social development department would be a department that establishes rehabilitation centers for people that are drug addicts, an old age home for those people. But currently, the Department of Social Development is burdened with providing the handouts. Whereas if this department was to chip in, while the Department of Social Development provides handouts, they are treated as a short-term intervention, and this department then comes with a medium-term intervention, which provides the necessary skills and assist the people to establish their own businesses and cooperatives, which will then result to a long term of communities that are sustainable. It's very, very important to make that observation, the importance of this department. Honorable Kruger.
Ma'am Chair, you just reminded me of a very, I sometimes feel like a broken record player. Rural development. We need to not work together with rural department, rural development. I think rural development, the mandate of that department, land reform and rural development, that portion, that mandate portion of rural development must migrate to small business development. Because we all know that the land issue is a huge issue, and that department is going to be busy with land reform for the next 5 years, at least 10 years, most probably, and nothing is going to be done by, you know, for rural development, and all these things we need to concentrate on rural development as well, because they always, you know, rural people, rural communities are always behind. They're getting the last of everything. So I want to recommend that we put in a recommendation that rural development as a mandate must come to small business development. Thank you.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I have a weakness of wanting to limit myself to this report, that
we know what we say about this report. Because at the end of the day, we are waiting for the department to come and then we finalize this. But now, I think we are comfortable with the observations and recommendations. But I also have a feeling that, Chair, this part, maybe you can insert it somewhere around, maybe around in the discussion or in the introduction, this part of the department. Because one thing I can assure you is that anyone, whether he's in the department or in the committee, anyone who feels that this department has to go, must go. This department is here to stay. We need it. Everybody needs it. So any attempt or effort not to have it is out. So I think this part of the relevance of the department and its effectiveness, maybe we only need a paragraph, maybe you insert it around the introduction. But now, mainly I think we have to have an opinion about our observations and recommendations, and further now decide how, what to do when we meet with the department, and then we have their this straight plan, it is presented and it is approved and so on, so that we get ready for this. But mainly I would also encourage the chair that this part of the absolute necessity of the department is highlighted in the debate. Thank you, Chair.
Are there any other inputs? Okay. I don't think that we can conclude our work here. We still have an opportunity. We won't adopt the report today because we are inviting the department to come tomorrow and present the threat plan. Only after the presentation of the threat plan, we will then adopt the report and we will still be in line with the requirement of 5 days. Honorable Tembo.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know, maybe in terms of our feeling as the portfolio committee, our dissatisfaction, I don't know how can we also deal with that one, because I think that we must express ourselves as earlier on as we did indicate that we are not really happy. We've been lenient to the department. So I think we must also express our dissatisfaction. It must also appear as we are trying to highlight the importance of the department, but also where we are not happy. Having noted, but we see somewhere that it's people who are failing, you know, in terms of executing their responsibility. So I don't know how can it find that expression in the report, but I feel that it must be said.
Honorable Kruger.
Madam Chair, you are the Chair, but I think the easiest way to express our discomfort with the department is to arrange a meeting with a political leader and set the day aside so that we can discuss this openly with a political leader and make sure that minutes is taken so that she or whoever the political leader is 100% sure of our dissatisfaction. I think that will be a very open, and then she can come and report back afterwards, and then we can go forward.
Do you remember, Honorable Kruger, that we have tried that route before? And what were the results? What were the results? Nothing. Okay. Now?
Honorable Chair.
I think maybe we must design a way of us being taken seriously. What Honorable Mthembu is saying is very, very important. I was thinking that in the meeting that we must have with the department, it should not only be the presentation of the straight plan. First, we need them to account. Maybe that's where maybe you might need the political head. We need them to account why this failure. And while at the same time we need this to be done, whether it is after, but we need that this explanation. We need this account why there is this behavior and this failure in the department. Because if we don't do that, we won't register our dissatisfaction. We won't register, because even there we are supposed to register even our intention or our desire that something must be done, action must be taken. It should not be hidden. It must not disappear anywhere. This thing. If it does, it will never help us anyway. I think we have reached a stage where we must know that we are in conflict for the purpose of being positive.
No, we were focusing about tomorrow's meeting, 9:30 to 1:00. Then the last thing, also, I don't think that we need to ignore that we had received this letter. It should. In my view, it should be made as an observation that whilst we were dealing with this, we also received information from the whistleblower, which was a letter which was highlighting some of the things that we've already observed, which means are observed in the department, which then requires an intervention, because the whistleblower is asking for an intervention. We should record that so that it doesn't look like we are overlooking it and we are not taking it seriously. And another observation that I think we have not highlighted is that after having developed a tracking tool which highlights the things that the department would have failed to do, and having alerted the department, when we call the department to come and report on the progress, the department would come and report on the plan. I think we have raised this, which means when we raise the issue that this is the recommendation and this is what you need to do, the department will take that and put it under whatever, I don't know whether under the table or under the carpet, then when we ask them to come and report on how have they dealt with that, the department will come back to us and tell us and present a plan, which means if we had not invited them to come and report to us the progress, that issue would not be attended to. That is another observation. The third observation is that department would come and present to us a remedial action which will not be implemented
case in two cases. The remedial action in terms of the appointment of the National Small Business Advisory Council, the delivery date for that was the 15th of May 2017, which that was presented by the DG to us. Today, it's May 2018. The National Small Business Advisory Council does not exist. The second one is the remedial action of Abalim. Abalim were a pilot project. The remedial action was put in front of us. In actual fact, three different remedial actions. But go there to Abalim and see whether the department has done anything. Zero. Meaning that all those jobs that were created are gone. The excitement and the expectations that were there in terms of reducing poverty, gone. Department only ended up by presenting to us a remedial action on paper, which is not implemented. In other words, Mina, I would say they come to us and lie that this is what we are going to do, and when we clap hands, it's a good plan, they go away, play solitaire. If they play solitaire, I don't know what is it that they play, which makes them not to do what they presented to us as a remedial action. I want that to be put as an observation, because there could be some way of defending, the department defending itself, that no, we have corrected these issues, we have reported to the portfolio committee. I want it to be very specific that what they report to the portfolio committee as a remedial action is actually not implemented. When you go on the field to look at it, you won't find that having happened. So they report to the portfolio committee for the sake of satisfying the portfolio committee, not for the sake of doing what the department was created to do.
Sure.
But then...
Also... about to say the let's add those recommendations, and also that is interesting that the chair was saying many, many negative observations. She's adding more.
All I said is that Ruth Bengu can have many weaknesses, but Ruth Bengu can have at least one or two positives.
Bengicela i-permission yokuthi ngiwacrafte ama-observations, ngiwasekulate on WhatsApp. Ongathi WhatsApp is more accessible compared to the emails for the members. I may be wrong. Number two, Chairperson, I hope members are clear on the relationship between the anonymous letter vis-a-vis the revised strat plan, the propositions on the revised strat plan. I hope there is a clear link as to why the issue of the anonymous letter is critical in as far as the strat plan is concerned, because the letter is raising exactly the same issues that are actually on the revised strategic plan of the department. I hope it's clear.
Thank you, Chair. So far, I've just written a letter to the House Chairperson and the Chief Whip to grant us a permission to sit tomorrow. at 9:30. And as it has been decided that also Honorable Mabasa to interact with the Chief Whip, because according to parliamentary program, it's caucus tomorrow, and then at 2 it's the mini plenaries of the budget. So we thought they could allow for the morning session, which is 9:30. And also, I called Mchunu and sent an email to Mr. Mchunu to inform him that the department is requested or instructed to come tomorrow to make a presentation on a strategic plan. So I think all other logistics will be communicated to members, because we must also look for a venue and other things. I think it will be communicated to members. But in principle, it could be at 9:30 tomorrow, 9:30 to 1:45. So that members can have 15 minutes to go to plenary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I declare the meeting closed.